The sermon for today is the cure for cancer. Thank you for listening, and God bless you.
Now, I think most of you know me well enough that you know that I don't profess to be a medical expert. And so the cancer we're talking about this morning is not physical cancer, but it's spiritual cancer, the cancer called sin. Sin is indeed a cancer. In many ways, it operates, it functions just like cancer. It metastasizes, meaning it can spread rapidly through the entire body. It grows tumors. Cancer is a mortal foe. You know, a fight with cancer is a fight to the death. You know, it's like a pit bull fighting a pit bull. You know, usually it's a fight to the death if you let them go. One of them is bound to die. And oncologists tell us that there's cancer cells in all of us. To me, that speaks to the fact that of the root cause of our disease, the root cause of this disease that is like physical cancer, the cancer of sin. You know, our first parents ate the forbidden fruit. We know the story. And because of that, the sinful nature has been passed down to every one of us. And so this message this morning is pertinent to all. Pertinent to all of us. There's no one here that can say, that's not my problem. I can't relate to that. Because it's been handed down to every one of us. From Adam and Eve. 1 John 1:10 says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Two verses previous to that, 1 John 1:8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So if we say that we can't relate to this sin problem, then we're liars, the Bible tells us. We're deceiving ourselves because the scripture tells us also that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know, some people look at this sin problem, this cancer called sin, a little bit like many of us are looking at the coronavirus today. You know, it's just, we kind of feel like maybe there's a lot of hype to it. You know, the news media has hyped it up, has overhyped it, and maybe that's true. But it's not that way when it comes to the cancer called sin. This is not something that's just been hyped up and that people get all fired up about, and it really isn't worth the hype. This cancer called sin is a serious matter. And it's worthy of our consideration and looking at the issue and looking at our own hearts and looking at our own lives and looking at the solution that God has provided for us. The reason it's so serious is because the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And Colossians 3, verse 5 says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. So we're called to mortify these evil members of our body. And so either we mortify them or they will mortify us. Because sin brings with it the sentence of death. John 8:34, Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Now, he says here, whoso committeth sin is the servant of sin. Now, that word committeth has the connotation of ongoing. It's not something that a person trips one time and falls, but it's in the active voice, and we notice that in numerous places in the scripture. Whenever that word ETH is added, it's in the active voice, and it is speaking about ongoing sin. John also says, he that sinneth ongoing is of the devil. Strong words. George Brunk, too, I believe it was, that that expressed it like this. He called it sinning like a woodpecker. You know, just repetitive sinning, committing the same sins over and over again. And the person who does that, Jesus says, is the servant of that sin. You know, whatever that sin is. And that is the tumor that is ravaging our lives. It's those sins that bring us into bondage. That is the tumor of this spiritual cancer that all of us have to deal with. Paul asks the question, what? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Then he answers his own question. He says, God forbid. You know, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? If we continue in sin, obviously, that's not an expression of grace, is it? That means that we're shackled to Satan. We're not freed by God's grace, but we're shackled to Satan. But the message this morning is not just about cancer, but about the cure for it. You know, the cure has already been alluded to, especially there in John 8:34. The cure to it is the freedom that's in the Son. That's the only cure there is for this cancer called sin. And if the Son will make us free, if we experience that glorious freedom that we can have in Jesus Christ, we will be free indeed, but it's the only freedom there is. This is not self-help this morning, but we want to talk about the freedom that is available to us through Christ. And I see it as a simple two-step plan that is the gospel method to free us from this cancer of sin. But before we go to the cure, we'd like to look some more at some specific tumors, some different forms of cancer that can shackle us, that can destroy us, that, or at the least, can hold us back even as Christians and keep us from being all that God wants us to be. We want to name some specific things, things that you and I can be caught in, not just the person out there that's in the gutter of sin. So let's pray this morning that God would, with David, that God would search our heart and try us and see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. I trust that's our prayer this morning. Now, first one that I'm going to mention, maybe it's not in the correct order, is alcoholism. Alcoholism is a tumor that has destroyed many a life. Recently, my wife's first cousin, Johnny, he's a single man, been single all his life, and his middle-aged man was found dead. I don't know the details of the story. But the sad thing of it is that he has been shackled to alcohol for years. And his father just recently sold his property, they say, for $2,000 under $1 million. But I believe this morning that knowing his father, that he would probably gladly give it all up just for a good hope for Johnny. The sadness of the grip of sin. Gluttony is another one of those things that can grip us. Now that seems to come a little closer home, doesn't it? You know, there's many obese Christians today, and just because a person's overweight doesn't mean he's a glutton, I don't think. But Solomon says that we need to put a knife to our throats if we're a man given to appetite. And when we sit down at a table with good food, I think that's he's talking about when you eat with the ruler of your people. You know, when you eat with the high ups and they serve you all the good food. Then he says we need to put a knife to our throat. You know, how much self-discipline do we really have? It's necessary for us to kill those unholy appetites that have the potential to destroy us. And some of these things can come really close home. And they're a challenge to myself. Apostle Paul says, meats for the belly, and the belly for meats. But then he goes on and makes this important statement, I will not be brought under the power of any. Again, that's a challenge to all of us. Once we are brought under the power of something, then it ties in with the works of the flesh, I believe. And it's something that we need to be delivered from. And the Spirit of God is able to free us from those things. In Galatians 5, and I didn't think about it, that this is actually a part of our Sunday school text this morning. It says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Sorry, I didn't give you the verse. That was verse 19 in the beginning there. All right, the first four are forms of impurity. You know, and Jesus addressed this thing of impurity. He said, he that looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. But I believe by the same token, the woman who fantasizes about a man has really done the same thing, has committed adultery in her heart as well. Pornography is a plague from hell that threatens us today. You know, and along with that, every form of personal impurity. And these things become powerful and destructive tumors that can ravage our lives, destroy us spiritually. And the more that we feed them, the stronger they become. You know, it's like the little black dwarf in the Palace Beautiful. I don't know how many of you are familiar with that book. But this little black dwarf, at first, he was an unwelcome visitor. All at once he just showed up, and the keeper of the palace didn't know who he was. But he soon found out who he was. He seemed like an innocent little fellow, and might even make a good companion. But he discovered that the more that he fed him, the bigger he became. And he wasn't anymore the little black dwarf. He was the big black monster that was ruling his life. And really, he played the part of the flesh. And that's just how the flesh is. The more you feed it, the more it grows and the more powerful it becomes. And that's the way it is with these cancerous things that tend to grip our lives and to bring us into bondage. The more you feed them, the more they grow. If doctors, if scientists could figure out how to cut the food supply to these literal physical tumors, they would die. These cancerous tumors would die. But the way it is, you know, when the people that have cancer, when they eat, they feed the tumors, and so the tumors continue to grow. And you know, it's interesting, we don't like literal tumors. Most people aren't excited, they are not happy that they have physical cancer. It's frightening, and it's very sobering to them. But somehow we do like the spiritual ones, and that's why we keep feeding them. That's why they stay there. That's why we can't get rid of them, is because we actually enjoy those things. We feed on them. They are the works of the flesh. Fairly recently, I attended a marriage enrichment seminar. And one of the points that really stuck with me is the speaker talked about romance novels. He mentioned that the romance novels do much the same thing to women and girls that pornography does to men and boys. It was sobering to me. And I think sometimes it's hard for us men to see life through the eyes of a woman. But maybe we can learn some things as we, you know, discuss things together. So maybe we tend to underestimate that. But I think romance novels they feed immorality. It's what they really do. Idolatry is another sin in that list. Every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. I think that's a good description of idolatry. And really, any tumor that we might have, in effect, does that. Someone has said that every temptation is an act of worship, or maybe I should say is an invitation to worship. It's only if we give in to that temptation that we worship it. And usually when we give in to temptation, we're worshiping who? We're worshiping self. And so we're definitely not worshiping God when we worship self, when we worship Satan. And that can be, there's so many things that can be in that thing of, under the heading of idolatry, you know, the love of money, the love of business, desire for prominence, desire for fame. Every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, it needs to go. Anything that can become an idol to us. And emulations, not as familiar a term as some. The idea of competitiveness, you know, be as good as or better than your neighbor, your brother. And along with that, and a cousin to it, is envyings and jealousies. And these are things that it seems like people seldom admit to today. And yet, we see the expressions of them and feel them and deal with them constantly in our homes, in our churches, and in society. We're plagued by these things too many times. These are tumors that can grip our lives and can warp us and twist us and destroy us and destroy others. Then we have wrath, strifes, hatred, murder. An awful list there in Galatians chapter 5. You know, murder, that can be literally or it can be spiritual murder. We know that the scripture tells us that if we hate our brother, that makes us a murderer. But many times these things start with little seeds and then they grow and then they grow. And unless we repent of them and get deliverance and get help, they continue to grow and they become monsters in our lives. They become tumors that grip us and hold us back and destroy us. You know, maybe in growing up, we felt looked down on or overshadowed by others and or something like that. Everybody's path has been a little different. And then we get these little seeds growing. And sometimes these, you know, a person becomes, it doesn't hurt us to go through some of these things in growing up. But once a person becomes resentful, once resentment begins to grow, then there's a tumor that begins to grow in our lives. And that type of thing can color the rest of our life from there on out. I think there's people who carry these things, and people sometimes we can sense them, and we just don't know where it's coming from. But there's tumors in many people's lives that need rooted out, and then God is able to deliver. It needs to be brought to the cross. Or maybe we've had a bad experience, you know, broken relationship. We've been hurt. We felt wronged. We felt overlooked, cheated. Others got what we thought was coming to us. Now, these things are real. Life isn't fair. But then we end up with a grudge and deep bitterness can settle into our lives. And then after a while, our entire life revolves around that tumor. We just got to keep feeding it, got to keep protecting it. And bitterness can take us anywhere. It knows no limits. It knows no end. Bitterness will take us to hell. That's where it will take us. Like the story of a vulture that was feeding on a carcass that was floating on the Niagara River. You know, this carcass was floating downstream, and this vulture was sitting on it and feeding on this dead carcass. But after a while, I guess it was observed that this vulture was squawking and trying to get, as this thing neared Niagara Falls, this vulture was trying to free himself and to fly away. But it was in the wintertime and his feet froze to the carcass. And he wasn't able to escape. He was stuck to the carcass. And so he plunged with the carcass down over Niagara Falls to his destruction. What a picture is that? Isn't that a picture of what is happening in so many people's lives? They're spiritual tumors. They keep feeding on these things and feeding on these things and protecting these things. They're stuck to a carcass, as it were. And It will take them to destruction unless they repent of it and get help and get deliverance.